Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover, and we hope you've had a great week so far. Today, we want to pick up where we left off last week, and we've been talking about commitment in marriage. Last week, we talked about a covenant versus a contract relationship. And so today, Bonnie and I, actually this weekend, we're involved in a project at our house that takes a little bit of commitment.
Yeah, we've kind of burned the ships where this is concerned. We pulled up the carpet in our bedroom. We've pretty much been on a project to replace, pull up the carpet in all of our house over the last couple of years, and Daniel just cannot stay well.
Oh, so man, I got this cough you're probably hearing.
And so we're it helped our son to get the carpet out of the bedroom, so we're going to try to do the same thing. Well, right now, we're having to sleep in our motorhome because we're in the middle of this project.
Which I love.
Yeah. I did that on purpose.
I always look for a reason to sleep in a motorhome. Yeah, I feel like we're always in a house project or something that we're doing, and that's because we're too cheap to hire it out, so we do it.
Yeah, well, we got to move forward in it because the carpet's out now, so we can't turn back. Well, like we mentioned last week, Daniel and I, we grew up with a really strong sense of commitment. I mean, our parents both, my parents were married over 40 years before my dad passed away, and they were headed towards 50. And
my parents are almost at 60, 58, 59.
Yeah, and so with that whole sense of commitment, I know I went into our marriage with this whole idea that this is forever. I'd seen that model. This is a forever relationship. And I remember early on in our marriage, I would have these strange dreams. And I don't know if other people do this, but I had dreams that I would see that, okay, I'm married. And then I would realize, I would turn around, I'd see this person was not you. I was married to the wrong person.
Hey, what, like Matthew McConaughey or
No. Dream? No. This was this awful dread. This was this, oh my word, what have I done?
Because Matthew Broderick.
I'm stuck in this marriage. And because in my mind, even my sense of commitment ran so deep that even in my dreams, in my subconscious, the only way out of this is if I somehow realized this was a nightmare and woke up, which thankfully I did.
I've had those dreams. Yeah. I dreamed I married the wrong person, and then I wake up and I roll over and I'm like, oh, dear Lord, thank you. That's an awful dream. Yeah, and I grew up with that deep sense of commitment too, and whether it's for a good reason or a not so good reason. So, you know, I grew up playing sports and I was all about sports, and in middle school and early high school, kind of my identity was in, you know, being a sports kid and all that. When you're a kid, you tend to do that. And I remember about 10th grade, I was feeling God call me into ministry. And that's kind of when I felt like that was happening. And at the same time, my love for football and was diminishing. And that had never diminished. And I remember telling a friend, like, I'm going to be honest, I could never quit. I'd have to get hurt. And a lot of that came from pressure that I felt. It was self-imposed pressure that I felt from like my family.
Well, all your brothers had played football.
Well, one of them, but they had kind of, yeah, I had felt like, man, they'll be disappointed in me and all this. And it wasn't true. They were supportive of me and whatever they felt like. I felt like God was taking me to. But I remember telling my friend I'd have to get hurt. And that's what happened. God said, okay, well, I can make that happen. And a few months later, I went to make a tackle and I cut off my finger, which is my hand got smashed between two helmets and my finger got cut off. And God used that little thing to change the path for my life and readjust my commitment level.
Well, you were so dug into that commitment because of whatever pressures and maybe the disappointment that you perceived would be there, and maybe even the image that you had of being the jock, being the football guy, and that kept you committed. So we're going to be talking about some of that today. It's now time for some seriously funny dad jokes.
All right, I'm going to read some dad jokes, and you're going to laugh.
Maybe.
Here we go. I don't trust stairs. They're always up to something.
So, They always lead up to something.
My son's math teacher called him average. I think he's mean. I don't get that.
Me neither.
I get it.
That one's not funny at all.
You're good at math.
Maybe it was a mom joke.
All right. Did you know that protons have mass? I didn't even know they were Catholic.
Oh. What's a proton?
Colby, what's this look you have on your face? All right. Here we go. Wife told me to take the spider out instead of killing it. We had some drinks. Cool guy. He wants to be a web developer. All right, last one.
One more after this.
Last one. A police officer caught two kids playing with fireworks and a car battery. He charged one and let the other one off.
He charged the battery and let the fireworks off.
Poor Colby. I
know. All right, so we're talking about commitment in marriage.
Well, like with your commitment to football, you kind of felt stuck without an easy way out. And do you think that this kind of commitment exists in marriage?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And last week we referenced a conversation or a book, a radio broadcast that we had heard between Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Scott Stanley. And Dr. Stanley wrote a couple of books on commitment, one of them with Gary Smalley. And he talks about constraint commitment versus dedication or dedication commitment. Mm-hmm. And my commitment to football is more of an example of constraint commitment. It's where you kind of do a cost analysis or you weigh the cost of staying in this commitment. And a lot of marriages do that. There's a lot of marriages that I'll sit and talk with in counseling sessions where it's, we're going to stay in it because of the kids, or we're going to stay in it because of finances. We can't afford to get out of it now. And there's a lot of times when I sit down with a couple and they're faced with this decision. Maybe they want a divorce and they want to get out of this commitment. They want to get out of this marriage. And a lot of times you're in that pit, you're in this emotion, and when we're in it, we don't think there can be anything worse. The grass has got to be greener because where I am is just terrible.
Yeah.
It's like when you've got a root canal coming up and you've got such terrible pain, you're like, there can't be anything worse. Well, believe me, there is, right?
Yeah.
But when you're in it, you don't think there can be. And so sometimes in those situations, doing a cost analysis or kind of that constraint commitment, you're committed to the relationship out of the constraint, is kind of a healthy thing.
Yeah.
If it's not your bigger end goal. So sometimes when I sit down with those couples and they're thinking about a divorce and they want to get a divorce, or they come in to a pastor or pastoral counselor looking for a biblical reason why they can get a divorce. And listen, you can make numbers say whatever you want them to say. So we make excuses say whatever we want it to say to our end result we want. But I'll sit down and I'll map out, okay, let's look at this. All right, let's walk down that path to its fullest and let's do a cost analysis of what it means for you to get a divorce. And so we'll walk through it, okay? So the first thing you've got to do is you've got to have a conversation with your kids. That's going to be fun, right? That's not going to hurt at all. And let's walk through that conversation with your kids. So this kid is this age. This kid is this age. That means you're going to have two different conversations. And you've got to try to find a way to put that and seeing them cry, and taking them to counseling, that's easy. And we'll walk through that. Okay, well, now you've got to split up all the finances and everything you have. Or now you got to pay alimony. You got to pay child support. You've got to, okay, think about Christmases and holidays. You ever seen that movie Four Christmases?
Oh.
It's hilarious, but it's not hilarious in real life. The movie was, but now you've got, okay, think about, and we just walk through what does that path look like, and it ain't greener. So sometimes that constraint commitment,
yeah,
can serve a healthy purpose, but it can't be the end vision and it can't be what keeps you together for the long haul. And that's where the dedication, Dr. Stanley talks about, the dedication commitment has to be what keeps you together.
Well, the constraint commitment, it brings some perspective on what life would look like on the other side if you did something different. But for the long-term satisfaction and success that you need, you know, in a marriage, you need to be able to develop a level of commitment that looks more like dedication. And and that dedication is that devotion to each other. And it's the, I'm going to make good choices for us because I'm for you and I'm for us. And I'm here and I'm all in this relationship. It's not just I'm here, but I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And I'm in it and I'm not going anywhere. And my priorities are aligned for the good of us.
Yeah, and I've seen, we've seen couples that have been at the brink of divorce or couples, I mean, even from affairs or no matter whatever it is that puts them to the brink, to renew their covenant dedication to each other.
Yeah.
And that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've seen them come back and get healthier and stronger, and their marriages become healthy. But what about for most of us that you're not near that, you've never been near that, and you're not, but you're in this lulled, apathetic place, and that's where, especially for men, one sin that plagues men is apathy, and as like I say, as men drift towards apathy. Women drift towards nagging
and control
because they want things to be good, to be healthy, and so they begin to control, and it comes across to men as nagging, so they get even more apathetic and
they pull away
and different things like that. But what does this dedication look like for a normal, regular, everyday marriage that goes, like we say, in the highs and lows, the goods and bads?
Well, it's that idea of, okay, we're in this, we're committed. Well, we're going to have priorities that reflect commitment to each other and commitment to our family. And when we do commit to each other, our priorities change. Because before you're married, my priorities, the only thing I know for my priorities to be are the things that are good for me, the things that I want to do, the things that make me happy. But then when we get married, there's someone else who also has priorities of what makes them happy and the things that are important to them. So I think when you sit down and you are committed to each other, you're also committed to potentially changing your priorities to match our priorities.
Yeah, and that's where selfishness comes in. I mean, most couples that we work with, most anybody that gets in a state in their marriage, and us too,
we're all
it
selfish.
All comes back to selfishness. How do I get my needs met? I mean, I've had people sit in, hey, how do I get my needs met sexually? Or I had someone say, hey, when can I watch the TV programs I want to watch? And so it that dedication in day in and day out looks like a change of priorities. And
boy, there's always choices.
Yeah. Yeah. And in his book on commitment, Dr. Stanley says, so commitment calls for us to give up some choices, any commitment we do. Mm-hmm. Life is about choices. Am I going to choose this or this? And sometimes they're not inherently bad or innately bad. Mm-hmm. They're just not the best. They're second best. But a lot of people act as if that since they made this decision on the wedding day, to stand up and say, I forsake all others, that they think that all the other choices just drop off the face of the earth. And that's not the case. Remember, last time we talked about that the commitment and that covenant with your spouse is a blind commitment when you're getting married, because you don't know what the future is going to hold.
No.
It's the same thing with your priorities. You don't know what priorities you're forsaking when you say that.
Right.
But for the rest of your marriage, for the rest of your life, things come up and things come in. And you're making a commitment to say, I'm going to realign my priorities based upon what's best for my spouse and based upon what's best for my family.
Yeah. And that's a constant thing. I know. Well, and that doesn't mean that you're completely losing yourself.
Not at all.
Because I think that it's really healthy sometimes. I mean, I'm not saying you can't ever have a hobby that does not include me. That's not fair.
Well, that's healthy for you.
Right.
Because my hobbies breathe life into me.
Exactly.
And that's best for you. You don't want me at a place to where I'm not healthy physically, mentally, emotionally.
Well, I know several years ago you wanted to train for a marathon, and mm-hmm. and we sat down together and talked through that at length because our kids were small. And
I had done a few before we had kids. I had done several types of different things, but now we had kids.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, I remember right when we had Josie, right before we had Josie, I did a triathlon, and then right after we had her, I did another. I did an Olympic distance, and she was one. And I remember you telling me when I got done with that, I looked at you and I said, well, you know, I just did an Olympic distance. I'm 6 months away from doing a half Ironman. And you said, we need to talk. And you said, and I thought it was going to be a time thing because I was really trying to be conscious of the time away that I was doing. And Josie was a baby at that time. And so it's a lot, but yet, you know, so it wasn't. Your issue wasn't the time issue. You remember what you said?
I don't.
You said, every time you get on that bike, I can't function until you get off and call me.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were riding on the highway and all that. And you said, and there's a lot to lose now if something happens to you.
Yeah.
And I
not
had
that
to
there
make,
wasn't before. But the idea of, okay.
It's a lot more real now that we have kids.
Yeah, we have kids. And if someone hits you on that road.
And we had just had a friend that we knew that had passed away from an accident and like that. And so I had to make that decision. Okay, this is something that I'm really enjoying and something that I really love. I either need to find a different way to do it or give it up. And for that season, I just said, you know, this is a season and I need to make this choice. But then a few years later, I wanted to do another marathon. And then it was a time issue.
Yeah.
And I had to find a way to do that that could fit our family. And so my goal with that marathon was to do it and the family not feel it.
And we didn't.
So
we barely felt it because you would go and do your long runs. You would leave the house so early that most on Saturdays to do those long runs that we were still just getting out of bed about the time you would get back.
And I had to run with a headlamp.
Yeah, but you made it a priority. And that said to me, I want to do not just what I want to do, but I want to do something that breathes life into me in a way that reflects our priorities as a couple and as a family. And it made me feel safe. It made me feel like, okay, this is not just something he's doing selfishly. And it made you better because it was something you loved. It was something that gave you headspace. It was something that made you better. So in the long run, it made us better. It made me better. It made you a better dad. It made you a better husband because you were able to do something that you enjoyed. But I think everything comes in seasons.
Yeah, and so maybe for you, you know, I know a lot of guys like to play video games or like to play computer games, and it's fine. I mean, especially if you're playing it with your son and it's something you can do together, maybe you do it a couple hours a week, but you don't do it a couple hours a day.
Right.
And you don't, maybe you like to golf, guys, or maybe you like to do, you know, then, and that's healthy for you from physically, emotionally, and mentally, spiritually, and all that. But when that hobby begins to steal a bottom line from your household income and put you in the red, when it begins to steal time away from your family where they're really feeling it, then it's an unhealthy imbalance.
Sure.
And you and your spouse have to weigh that out, and you have to stay in conversation about that and about those priorities.
Well, and if you don't, you can easily start feeling slighted, or you can start being resentful.
Yeah.
You can start feeling bitter, and then that will test your commitment to your spouse because you're feeling all of a sudden, now I'm feeling angry and selfish, and because you think they're being angry and they're being selfish, mm-hmm. and then you've got to sit down, communicate about, okay, what are our priorities, and let's develop those together. And you might have to keep doing this. Is something you don't just, your priorities change through different seasons, and you need to keep having this conversation. And it's always, there's always going to be a choice that you're going to make. I'm going to choose this thing and have to neglect this thing. And it's for us, we have the lingo, It's choosing the great over the good. Is this the good or the great?
It goes back to the Jim Collins good versus great.
Absolutely.
Principle. And I remember one time, and you're not as assertive, or you used to not be as assertive, and typically we think of assertiveness as a negative thing, but it's a great thing, especially in marriage. You got to speak your mind. You got to speak your heart. You got to speak what you feel. You just have to do it in the right way. And so I would go from goal to drive, you know, whether it was a race or a physical goal or going back to school or whatever it was, that was just something for me that just kind of came natural. And I was always looking for that goal setting and all. And I remember you were like, I think I had just finished that marathon that we were talking about, and I was about to start back to school. And you said, you always have these goals. You're always doing this. And I don't have any of that. And you're kind of feeling left out in that. And you're kind of seeing that in me. And I told you, I said, well, Bonnie, you know, if you have something you want to do, you got to know, we'll fan that flame. You just let me know. And she said, I want to redo my kitchen. You didn't even have to think about it. You didn't blink. I said, okay, well, you know, whenever you get your ideas, you pull out your phone. Okay, here's my Pinterest board. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to paint.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, so when one spouse leans towards, hey, I'm doing this, the other spouse has to be able to say, okay,
here's something that's important to me.
Enough. I need some things that breathe life into me too.
Yeah.
And that can be imbalanced really quick.
Especially if one of you is more assertive than the other. And,
and
you can just take for granted. But if you're not the assertive one, you've got to speak up and say, not just sit and get resentful that the priorities seem to be imbalanced towards one spouse's ideas or hobbies than the other.
And what that leads to, so we've talked about constraint commitment versus dedication commitment and how those work together. And that leads to an adjustment in priorities. When I'm dedicated to my spouse, it adjusts my priorities. And then the last thing that leads to, when you adjust priorities for each other and you're dedicated to each other, it leads to safety. Mm-hmm. And safety in a marriage relationship is so vital for a commitment to work. When I let Bonnie know that I'm committed, and that spells out in the way I adjust my priorities daily, and the way I minute by minute, hour by hour daily, then that makes her feel safe. I know, Bonnie, your love language is quality time.
Yeah.
And so I've had to learn over the years, okay, that has to adjust my priorities.
Well, and yours, over time, yours is also quality time.
Yeah, and acts of service and words are mine. And you've adjusted those priorities in your life to meet those things in mine and my life, like pulling up the carpet and putting down the floor.
Yeah, we got to do that today, don't we?
Yeah. So, but knowing that your spouse is committed in that way and adjusting your life makes you feel safe.
Well, when you feel more safe, then you feel like I can commit more. I'm more transparent.
Right.
So it's kind of a cycle. When I feel safe, I commit more. When I feel your commitment, I feel safe.
Yeah. And when I feel safe, I'm going to go deeper in my communication with you. I'm going to be more transparent in what's going on. I'm going to feel the ability to say, hey, you know what? I feel like there's an imbalance right now, and I'm drowning a little bit. And I know you're enjoying life. I know you're having fun with the things that you're doing and you feel good, but I don't. And when you don't feel safe, you don't feel the freedom to say those things and to have what we call heart talk. And so that level of commitment needs to happen so that you can feel safe. And that leads you to a deeper commitment. And so it's a cool thing that happens.
Yeah.
So what are our action steps as we wrap up today?
Well, I think one of the things is that we've got to evaluate our priorities kind of in light of the commitment that we've made to our marriages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you need to realign them to reflect more of an us mentality than the me mentality?
Yeah, and I think even before that, if you listen to this and when we were talking about constraint commitment versus dedication commitment, if you're at the place in your marriage and it's not a healthy, you don't feel like it's a healthy marriage, maybe you're at that constraint commitment where you're kind of doing a cost analysis. You're weighing the options and weighing the costs and saying, well, I need to stick in this because then that should be some little, we call them warning lights on the dashboard.
Yeah.
You know, that's your check engine light that comes on that says, why are you doing a cost analysis to measure your commitment? And maybe you know that, but maybe you don't. And you've got to look at it why, and that your marriage isn't in a healthy place. And maybe you do know, maybe you know that, but you've got to have a dedication type commitment, which means you've got to have, here's my vision, here's our goals for our marriage, and we're going to weigh the costs, but that's not why we're ultimately staying in this marriage. We're ultimately staying in this marriage because I made a covenant before God, and I made a covenant to you that, kind of going back to our last podcast, no matter what, I'm in,
yeah,
even if you're not. And those, the cost analysis is good to lead you to that, but it can't be the ultimate reason. So you have to, your action step might be that you evaluate why you're doing a cost analysis,
yeah,
and then together have a conversation of, okay, we got to realign our commitment, and we've got to be dedicated to each other, and not to a relationship. You're not dedicated to your marriage. You're dedicated to your spouse. A lot of times we say, oh, I want my marriage to be better. Well, marriage is an inanimate object.
Yeah.
But I'm dedicated to this person, and I'm committed to this person. And then communicate that to your spouse.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us today. We hope you guys have a great week investing in your marriage adventure. And we're going to pull up carpet and put down flooring. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.